Okay, let's pray and we'll jump right into this. Y'all, we glorify you and bless you for your wonderful presence, and we just seek you in every way. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth, give us wisdom, and we just declare that we'll put that into action on our day, on a daily basis. And we thank you for all that you do. In the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. Alrighty. I want to share this information with y'all on the day. And y'all just said, in a nutshell, just share my my experience in this subject on today. And for me sharing it, it's not a cookie cutter pattern to follow. It's just sharing some things just to, you know, guide you, just to guide you and just to help you with understanding this subject matter, and just to encourage you to, position yourself to where, however the way, Yah works with us on a daily basis, it's fine, and you know, like I say, he deal with us differently and things like that. So, but I just want to. I want to share some things with you, and I'm just trying to express this in the best way in the best way that I can. Y'all know how y'all pretty much deal with me as far as lessons are concerned. I don't really prepare for anything. It's just that whatever, when he gives me a word, then I understand the scriptures enough to kind of wade through to where he wants, where he wants to be and what he wants to understand. There are facets that I have experienced. And remember, this is not, so don't look at it and say, well, okay, this is the process by which I got to go. No, he deals with all of us, in certain ways. But I want to kind of be transparent with you and to kind of give you some, what word am I looking for? Kind of give you some path along the way where you may be able to identify and say, I remember some dealings in those areas and things like that. And then you may not have any. You may have some experiences that I can't relate to and things like that, because, y'all just deal with each one of us however way he choose. But I'm trying to see how he want me to. I've experienced three facets of Yah in my life. I'll say it that way. Three facets of him in my life. And I'm just saying it that way because those are the only three that I can think of right now. And I'm pretty sure that's pretty much what it is. There are three facets whereby Yah has dealt with me throughout my life, and there could be more facets to that with you with each one of you. And again, I'm just laying out a pattern to kind of paint a picture so that you can have a canvas to kind of go by. These three facets, often talk about how he dealt with me at a very young age, as far back as I can remember, in being I was I remember things from being a newborn, and I know that I was a newborn because of what I was reasoning with and things like that. You know, I talked about, I kept trying to figure out who these two people were that I liked, but I kept falling asleep, and I didn't want to fall asleep. And I was kept, you know, because I enjoyed being around them. I remember the room in detail that I was in. I remember how Mom was laying. I remember how Dad was laying, was sitting on the bed. It was two people, and so I was like, I really like these people, but I was reasoning in my mind why I couldn't stay awake because I wanted to spend time with them. I was like, man, I just keep falling asleep. Now it may be weird, but I'm just telling you what I knew, and because it was my dad and Mom, I had to be a newborn. Newborn. One that old, because I wasn't able to move around myself and things like that. He would hold me, she would hold me. So from those encounters, since I said fast, three facets, I'm saying, so from that first facet, there were times when Yah would reveal himself. Early on, young age, I remember three. I remember, you know, the time frame when I was very young, where Yah was revealing himself. And I'm not talking about that, you know, stuff you hear people talking about, you know, in dreams and things like that. Although that does happen, and it happens to me to this day, dreams and visions and things like that. But I would have literal encounters to the point to where I thought that was normal. Until I got into the next facet and start to realize that what I was experiencing wasn't normal. First facet, you know, I was having an encounter with Yah. It's like Yah was like, okay, I'm doing some things to show you that I am Yah and I am real, and you know, experiences. I wasn't seeking Yah. There were times when he was introducing himself to me. Even, you know, one case when I was a teenager, I was walking down the street, he called my name. Literal. I'm not talking about some I think I heard, or it may have been somebody else. I'm talking about it was so audible, if that's the word that's correct. It was so audible that I actually answered, huh? And it wasn't going in my head. In my head, it came from above, downward. But when I answered, I turned around and shocked and looked up the street because I was like, there gotta be somebody up the street. Although I knew I heard it from above me. And immediately when I turned around and looked, I was trying to reason with myself and say that, you know, that it was Mitchell at the time. You know, we called him Boo Bear. It was him at the time. That's because we were walking together and he lived up the street. So he had, you know, turned off to go in the house, and I was walking up the street by myself. So that was my first reaction, was to turn around and see was it him, because I know the time frame we were walking down the street, there was nobody else on that street that could have called my name but him. So I turned around and looked, and I answered, huh? And then immediately I looked up, because I knew where it came from. It's just that I was shocked to hear it. And that's all, I just said my name. And so it was like Yah over the years was building up my confidence to know that he was and is God. And so I started, you know, experiencing those in a lot of different areas. And you may be able to, yes. I was in the spirit, that's why I didn't see your time came out. When you did like that.
In those instances when you were younger, did you know at the time, did you know and acknowledge that it was God?
Yeah. I remember there were times that I would actually have a conversation. And I would sit in different areas and talk to him, because you know, being raised up in the environment that I was raised up in, you know, it's like I saw a lot of things at a very young age, and so it was like common thing to me. I didn't feel like it was anything out of the ordinary to talk to y'all. You know, you get people nowadays, and this is not a criticism, it's just a fact. You get people nowadays that when they have encounters with y'all, they're awed and oohed and stuff like that, which they should, because now, you know, that I understand, I be awed and oohed, you know. Be like, wow, you know. But it was so common back then that I thought it was normal, as I pointed out. So, yeah. You know, I thought it was normal until I entered the second facet of it. And I started to realize, okay, this is not something that happens to everybody on a regular basis. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, some of that has to do with your gifting too, right? So, I mean...
Correct.
It ain't like everybody experienced that.
Right. And so, go ahead.
Because I was going to say, I realize now that in that same vein, God has been dealing with me my whole life, and I just didn't recognize
right.
as what it was.
And that's a good point too, you know. All of us may admit that there are times when he was dealing with us, but we didn't recognize it. It's just that I was fortunate enough by Yah, I guess from the environment that I was raised in, to acknowledge these things
and
early.
Who you call to be.
Well, yeah, true. True, you know. And so, you know, and I often say this, I had to be raised in the household that I was in because of what I've been called to do. I got introduced to Yah at a very young age. I saw, you know, like what I said, as a kid, probably a newborn. And then at 3 years old, I had encountered the first demon. It was three. And I remember that. My granddaddy cast it out. And so from that point on, nobody could tell me the devil wasn't real. Nobody. At three, I heard him. I saw how he acted. And nobody from that point on could say, oh, the devil is not real. I was like, no, Yah is real. I encounter him. And the devil is also real because I have encountered him. Okay? These are you know, Yah being the source of all things. And then you know, Satan, the devil, that old dragon, the serpent, you know, that he exists. He functions from the same facet, but obviously at a much lower level, from the same facet of influence as Yah does. Yah influences the mind. Satan influences the mind. It gets to the point where Yah, you know, as the scripture points out, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Yah, whereby, you know, obviously the breath of Yah, where he breathed on us, and all these wisdom and understandings and the way we operate on a daily basis, we do that. I have no doubt, because I've seen it, that Satan influences people the same way. Thus Ephesians 6, when it talks about principalities and powers, the way the Spirit of Yah leads us, the spirit of Satan, that's why the scripture say, "Ye are of your father the devil." You know, some on the order of the lust of the things that he do, you do also. So I know Satan can influence people the same way Yah influences people, because I've seen it on both scales at a very young age. You know, again, encounter Satan for the first time that I recall, I was three. And when I would tell the story, you know, my siblings would tell me, say, "You wasn't nothing but about three then when that took place." You know, but I remember it like it was yesterday. It's just, that's how it works. And so, again, each one of you can have testimonies, whichever facet they are, experiences you had. You know, like Elder pointed out, you can go back and look at some things over the years. He was like, okay, he was guiding me. He was leading me, you know. I wasn't seeking him, but he was introducing himself to me and things like that. So, I call that the first facet where Yah introduces himself to each one of us. And then there's another one, or the second one, I call it the second facet, is when there comes a time when we start to seek him. we start to, you know, looking for experiences. We start positioning ourselves for, you know, for experiences and things like that. That's a second facet. And I remember there were times when, you know, when I first started to seek Yah, there were things that I would do on a regular basis. I would get up and I would pray and I would you know, study, but I was always trying to position myself to say, hey, here I am, you know. I remember back in the day when you used to come to me, now I'm coming after you, I'm chasing you down now. You know, there was a time when he said, I called you to do this, now you'd be like, no, you didn't. I called me to do this over here. That's when he was after me. He was seeking me then. And, you know, he told me, he called me to preach. I said, I called me to play pro football. You know, I was 16 then. I called me to play pro football. He came to me again when I was in college. I called you to preach. I called me to play pro football. He said, well, you're not going to play and do anything you want to do unless you do what I call you to do. And I was big and bad, and I said, we going to see. Well, we saw. Here I am. So that first facet, again, I want to take my time with this, is you may be able to, as Elder point out, you may be able to look back on your life and say, Yah was introducing himself to me. He was showing me, it don't have to be some big spectacular thing, some big, you know, big time wild moment where you can say, okay, Yah was introducing himself. It may be just little small things where Yah had, you know, for years, He'd been guiding us along the way and showing us, you know, showing us. You know, there may be time when you pray for something and say, okay, well, you know, if you don't show me this, then, you know, I just don't know if you're real and all that. And there were things happen that kind of left us dumbfounded. I'm quite sure all of us can look back on some of those times and come to a conclusion, yeah, he's with me. You know, at the time frame, I you know, in my first facet, you know, I was having encounters with him. I was sitting down talking to him and communication and stuff going on. Sometimes, you know, he wouldn't say, you know, things back to me, and I used to just talk to him, and, you know, and then the other time he would say stuff to me, and it's just conversation. I was like, okay, everybody, God deal with everybody like this. Well, when I started to seek him, I started to realize, no, he don't. You know, and I remember times when I would seek him, I would pray. I would get up at different times. I would get up at different times in the morning. I remember when, you know, when we was homeless at the time, I used to get up every morning, go down in the sanctuary, and turn on the sound equipment. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, be blasting the whole community and not realizing until Deanna came down and started one day and said, hey, you know, when she said that, I just kind of froze. And that's when I realized, you know, I was kind of making a lot of noise. But those were times when I used to seek, and I'd go lay on the altar and you know, pray and seek Yah and sing and dance. I was doing everything. You know, I was like, I'm going to get your attention one way or another. And if you ain't gonna deal with me, you might well kill me now. I'm in my mind then. You gonna deal with me. You know, you gotta deal with me because I'm throwing off. You know, you gotta deal with me on a daily basis. And so, again, back to the first facet, Yah was introducing himself. All y'all probably can you know, think back on your life and testify when he was actually introducing himself. Then it comes to that facet where we really start to seek him. You know, we really start to seek him, and we're you know, we're looking for him, we're praying, we're studying, you know, we're gathering anything that we can that will allow us to know him better. You know, and it reminds me of this here Psalm 63 as I have it up. It says a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He says, oh Yah, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Now, when you understand David, what he's really saying, although he says early, you know, I can relate to that because there are times when I was at this stage, I was seeking him early. You know, again, as I mentioned, I would get up early, I would pray, I would do all these different things, and everything I could that was going to connect me to him, whether that was reading the scriptures, whatever, you know. That early is more so of a, that word early is more so of a diligence. And so when I see early, although there were times when I did it, the majority of the time early, it was a diligence associated with it. To the point to where I was consumed with wanting to have encounters with it. The same way you see David here, where he's saying, "Oh Yah, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." And you see the colon after the thee. It says, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty place." He's giving us to understand that I'm so diligent about my relationship with Yah, to the point to where it is like me, my flesh being in a thirsty and dry place where there is no water. Now imagine, you know how we get when we need some water and we start to get a little bit thirsty. Imagine having no water in sight. You're in the desert, and your flesh is starting to have all these issues because your primary goal is to get water. David paints that picture. Our father David paints that picture to give us an understanding of how diligent he was about having an encounter with Yah. He was like, "I do it early, but I'm diligent. I don't pick my times just to do it. And once that time is done, the rest of my day I go on and be like, I'll see you tomorrow." They was like, "Man, I'm like dry all the time. I'm my flesh is like in a dry and thirsty place where there is no water. So I'm constantly, my whole being, my soul, my mental state is consumed with wanting to have an experience with Yah. It's consumed with wanting to have that experience." And as you see it, as you continue to look at this verse 2, it says, "To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." When you see it, he's letting you know those facets that I'm talking about. He's like, "I've seen this before. Yah came to him. He was out there in the, you know, tending to the sheep. Wasn't thinking about, so to speak, his experiences with Yah at a level. But Yah started dealing with him, and you can see it in 1 Samuel 16. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. I just want to show you just to connect it with the lesson. I just start at verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children?" Because Samuel is going to pick one of Jesse's sons to be the king based upon what Yah said, after he tells him how long you're going to mourn for Saul. "How long would thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? For thine fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among them." So Samuel goes, but he's looking at all the brothers and he's saying, this got to be the one. And Yah is like, nope. You know, I don't look on man's outward appearance, but I look on a man's heart, so to speak, as you look at it in verse 7. himself. But Yah said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, because he thought Eliab was the one that was anointed, because he was big like Saul. Saul was a big man, to the point to where when the scripture describes him, all the other men came back to his shoulder. When he was being chosen as king, he was a big in stature, and a strong, good-looking man. And so everybody else was short in comparison to Saul. But Eliab was a man of stature too. That's why verse 7 it says, but Yah said unto him, look not on his countenance, or the height of his stature. Then you know Eliab was a big man too, like kind of like Saul. He said, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yah looketh on the heart. And so, as you look at it here in verse 11, says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, here are all thy children. He said, thou remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto him, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down. Well, you know he's anointed as the king. You can see verse 13 for the sake of the time. But when I started verse 13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of Yah came up on him from that day forward. So he rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14, but the spirit of Yah departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from Yah troubled him. So when you look at verse 13, it points out that the spirit of Yah is up on him. So Yah is dealing with him. So when you see him here, there are some things that's going on with him, because he's fleeing. He's in the wilderness of Judah, and so as you see some things going on with him here, he is showing you how he's seeking Yah. He's thirsty after Yah. He's already been anointed the king, and he spent a lot of time fleeing from Saul and things like that, but he had an encounter with Yah first. That's why he said to see verse 2, I'll get out of this, to see thy power and glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So he had experiences with Yah, like I said, at first fasting, where Yah was encountered with him in certain fasting, but then at the same time, you now see him seeking after Yah, and he's to the point where he's like, nothing matters. Nothing matters. That's why verse 11 says, but the king shall rejoice in Yah. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And so you're seeing that second facet, so to speak, where he's seeking, and that's why I'm just calling it the second facet, because that's what happened to me. Yah introduced himself to me. Then once it got to that second facet, I started to seek after him. That's all I thought about every day I was consumed with it. Even to the point to where, I think then I was calling my siblings and stuff like that, saying, hey, y'all need to come check on your brother, because he getting real strange and weird and out there, and I don't know, he needs some help or something. Because I would go in the restroom and stay for hours, 2, 3, 4 hours at a time. Y'all was just dealing with me, and I was seeking him. So when I mean by the dealing with me, it was like, I was seeking him, and as a result, I was having these encounters. Okay, and so that's the second facet. Once you enter into this third one, it's best way to explain it is like the first one, he introduces himself. The second one, we start to seek him. We start to thirst and hunger after that righteousness. And then the third one is when now. And so I said this the first one, but y'all lead me to change it. The first facet of it is when he introduces himself. Okay, is when he introduces himself. That's the proper word he wanted to use. The first facet, when he introduces himself, Yah has introduced himself to all of us. Second one is when we start to seek him, like we look at Psalm 63, verse 1. We start to seek him, and we start to thirst after him. We start to do things, and I mean really be diligent about it. Early. Whether it's early in the morning, but it shows a diligence that's associated with it. Then the third one is when now Yah starts to seek you. He starts to seek each one of us. Stop. He starts to seek each one of us. When he starts to seek us is when there'll be time when you'll be asleep and you'll be awakened. Or you'll be led to stop what you're doing and come and spend time, huh? Go ahead, what you saying? It is the same to certain facet, but it's slightly different. So the first one is him introducing himself. Me introducing myself to you is saying, you help you relate to what I'm saying. Me introducing myself to you is coming in and say, hey, Janice, my name is Long. Huh? No, I'm showing you the difference. So I'm gonna use me as an example. I come to you, introduce myself. Hello, Janice, my name is Lon. I introduce myself to you, identifying who I am. Now, from that point on, I don't do a lot of things to establish a relationship with you. I just introduce myself. All of us can think back on those things. So I just introduce myself to you. Well, the second one is when now we start to seek him. Well, okay, me again. I remember meeting this guy named Lon. I'm gonna go try to find out who he is. He introduced himself to me, but that was just it. You know, I was your neighbor. I was his neighbor. You know, I'm just gonna try to get to know him a little better. He seemed like he's a nice guy, and I'm just trying to get to know him a little better. So I'm gonna just start going and say, hey, you know, I'm getting ready to go to the movies. You busy? You want to just go to a movie or something like that? Now there are things that you're doing to establish that relationship with me. Well, the next one now is when I seek you. The first time I introduced myself, but I just left it at that. Now, this particular time, I'm now after you, and we've been introduced. You're seeking me. But now I'm turning around giving you things and doing things with you from a perspective of really close and intimate encounters, to the point to where it is obvious that you're after me. That's a slight difference. The first one, I introduced myself. The third one, I'm now seeking you. And there's a difference. You had something? Go ahead.
That third one is almost like a relationship.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
The first one is not like that.
He called my name. You know, the first one, he called my name. There was nothing from that point on. He didn't turn around and say, Lon, you know, come hang out with me. No, he just said, Lon. That's all he said. I knew it was him. I was like, hey, man, this dude, I've been communicating with him, you know, for a lot of time. And I know when I use my example, I've been having some relationship for a long time, but I'm just trying to break them down so that you can have the experience. And so don't take my personal testimony as that. And that's probably why you're saying the first one is like the last one, because you're using my example. But I'm trying to give you a guideline. And so it was a good way.
I'll use me for an example.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't talking to me like that. Like, there are things that I look back in hindsight and I realize that his hand was on me, but it wasn't like he was, it wasn't like we was having conversations every day or nothing like that.
Right.
That wasn't happening.
Right.
So there are things in my life that I realized that his hand was on me. There are events that happened in my life that I realized that his hand was on me, right? So he was, like you said, introducing himself to me, but it wasn't like, you know, we was having conversations on the regular or nothing like that, or that he was talking to me a lot or anything. Those things weren't happening.
Right, and so that's why I wanted to, and I'm glad you put that input in there, because I know the way I worded you was thinking about my experience, which is the same. I have as the other point out, because of what I'm called to do, mine's is kind of different. It's like y'all was like, I'm going to reach and get you and communicate and stuff with you first. But I'm saying it's still different than what it is now. Because, you know, there were experiences and encounters that I still could categorize it as him introducing himself to me, because there would be dialogues and stuff like that, but as Elder pointed out, it wasn't intimate.
So what I see is almost like a coach and a player when you started out.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like you friends with the coach.
Right.
So before, yeah, the coach is talking to the player.
Right.
But it's almost like coaching him for something that he want to get out of him as the player.
Right.
But it wasn't like necessarily that the coach and the player was friends.
Right.
So it's almost like, yeah, I was dealing with you, but from a perspective, mm-hmm. not from the perspective that came later.
Right. And even to add to that, even as far as coaches I had, there were coaches that I had, like the other pointed out, they coached me for a specific task, but then there were some coaches that I had that I went to their house and ate dinner. They were my coach. And that first facet was there, but it went beyond that to relationship. Not only was he my coach to teach me how to play football, but there was relationship there enough where he was saying, I want to let you into my life, introduce you to my family. Here are my kids. You know, I look at you kind of like as a son instead of just a football player. It's beyond that. Those experiences. And so that's the way it was happening with Yah. It was like Yah was like, okay, in the initial stages, I'm introducing myself to you. Yeah, we're having dialogue, but there's still no intimacy there because these are experiences that you have, and based upon me, as you pointed out, coaching you, getting you ready for what I call you to do. Well, this third facet is different. It's like I am awakened. The third facet is like y'all is like, okay, you know who I am. There were times when you would seek me. But now this relationship has gotten so intimate to the point to where I come after you. So that's why I make statements sometimes when I'll be like, okay, even if I had the mentality to go and get out of the will of Yah and do something out of the will of Yah, because Yah now seeks me and the relationship was there. He like, I'm putting hedge around you. And I'm not letting you outside those boundaries. In other words, it's to the point now where I seek you and I'm establishing how important you are to me, to the point to where I come acknowledge you. There was a time in the second fast where you would do like David early in the morning. You get up and seek me. But now I'm waking you up early in the morning. I'm coming to you now, and I'm saying, okay, let's dialogue. Let me lead you. One example that I'll use, who was that, last week? Week before last, I get them mixed up. Time is flying so fast. And all the stuff I've been dealing with. So, y'all got me up by 5 o'clock one Sunday morning. Got me up at 5 o'clock. He woke me up. And I had made up my mind, okay, I ain't doing nothing tomorrow, you know. I was like, well, I need some water. You still in the hospital? I think it just had got out or something like that. I said, I ain't gonna get him to drive down there. Brother-in-law was out of town, and I said, well, you know, I need to get some water, so I'm gonna go ahead and just go sometime Sunday. Well, y'all gets me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He literally gets me up, and so I'm like, okay, let me get the move. He's like, I want you to be on the road at 6 o'clock. You know, going. You know,
get
to me, yeah. You ain't joking, boy. time. My mindset is time is just a tool, so I use it whenever I want to, kind of deal. And so I'm on the road at 6 o'clock. Go down, get water. I'm headed back to Dallas. You know, a little bit after 7. I think it's about 10 minutes after 7. I'm headed back to Dallas. Just drove down, got the water, and drove straight back. Well, he got me up to do that because he wanted me to catch a thief later on that morning. So as soon as I get home, I'm taking all the jugs and stuff out of the truck, and I go to get my gun and stuff like that out of my compartment armrest. And as soon as I get it and get ready to go in the house, the my phone notifies me. And I look at the phone, and a guy was walking right past the camera. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there looking at, and my mind is so jacked up, because like I said, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, what is Alex near my parents? I'm trying to reason with myself. That's what I said. I'm like, man, is that Alex near my parents? Come up here. I'm like, what is going on? And finally clicked on. I jumped back in the car. Long story short, held the guy on, you know, gun pointed to the police. Got there. They got there. I had him laying on the floor already. And so that y'all seeking me is what caused those other things to take place. If I had not responded to him seeking me, then you know things would have happened, you know, quite differently. And so here's the amazing part. Something was going on with the data, I think. Was going on with the data, and one no image is coming to our phones. That one image came through.
Yeah, I told him
that was y'all.
Yeah, y'all let that one image.
That one image. And then once you upgrade the data, it's like a day or two later, everything started downloading. That dude was everywhere. And y'all let one photo come through.
Which wasn't supposed to.
Wasn't supposed to. And so those are the things that I want to put. And I'll give you an example of this. Y'all know the story here. Exodus 3. Just to show you, this is the third facet of it. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Yah, even to Horeb. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. He didn't think about Yah. He said, man, let me see what this is. He said, now I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush. First facet, he introduces himself. There's no intimacy. I'm letting you know I am God. There's some encounters that I'm going to allow you to have. Then we enter the second facet where we start to get, you know, people call, I'm on fire for God kind of deal. We start to seek him. We start to do things. We start to desire to be close. And then the third facet where Yah said, okay, I'm finna come to you. And when you get in that facet, when we get in that facet, we are now at that realm of relationship where things will start to happening that is way beyond what
what you can imagine.
There you go. often said comprehend, way beyond. And when Yah start to seek you, it's always purpose associated with it. And like I said, here I am getting up to go and thinking I'm going to just to get water, but knowing Yah's purpose in to go get water. Knowing that Yah woke me up to go get water in the initial stage, but at the same time, all the time, it was all leading to a certain point. I gotta see you down here because I kid you not, if I had gone the time frame when I normally would wake up and just go, if it's at the time frame when I normally wake up and just go, then if it's at the time frame that I normally wake up and go, then I would have been down there in Canton when he was there. And you know how that, well, all of who's gone down there, when you get back into all them woods and stuff, you have no phone reception or service or whatever. It's just so many trees and woods and things like that. Wouldn't have got the notification down there. And so Yah said, I got to get him up early and get him ready for this encounter. And so that's the third facet. When Yah will start to seek you, he'll start to communicate with you. You know, he'll start to wake you up and it'll get to the point. That's why I make the statement when I'll be like, okay, all I pray, and I kid you not, this is all I pray every day. I don't do nothing else because the relationship is there. All I pray is the Lord's Prayer every day. This is it. That is it. The Lord's Prayer, and then I read, study, each day. But that's the only seeking I do. I get up and pray the Lord's Prayer. That's it. But remember what I always said, or what I always say. This third facet is when we're now in position where y'all can slide in on our mind anytime we want to. The relationship is so there, as it was more. The relationship is so intact now to where I don't have to seek. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to seek. It's like Yah is saying, we're so much in tune with one another that you can be minding your own business and I'll deal with you.
But to get to that final one, I realize you have to die to self.
Yes.
That one don't happen until you die to self.
Right. Just to confirm that, all them things that I was doing in the second fast when I was seeking him was all the things that I was thinking that you had to do in order to establish that relationship. I didn't know. I didn't have a guideline or whatever. And so I'll be like, okay, I got to get up and pray. I started out, I would pray three times a day for an hour. Literally. And I was working. I would stop working and pray for an hour. I would do it three times a day. I pray for an hour, then I start back, and then I stop for lunch. I pray for an hour, and then I go back, and then I pray for an hour when I get home. I was doing it on a regular basis. I was doing everything that I can to say, "Hey, Graham, right here, I'm for real." Then it got to the point where y'all was like, "This nut is for real, you know? He's for real. So now let me start to deal with him." Or let me start to deal with you. And like I said, I'm giving you three, but I'm not saying don't create a cookie cutter thing to do now by saying, okay, well, now I need to start seeking and do all these things. No. What I'm saying is have a way he works with you, then that's the facet by which you get to where he wants you to be. And so that's where it is now. It's like these encounters, There's constant communication on his part. And I'm just being honest with you. The majority of the time, I'm not seeking for that communication. I'm not. I don't get up in the morning and say, okay, y'all talk to me. I just get up, do the Lord's Prayer, and be like, well, here I am. You want something to do with me, just reach and grab me. it becomes easier because it's intimate, and Yah is like, I can flow with him anytime he need to. So I don't seek him like I used to do. But my mindset is, because of the relationship, I'm always ready to encounter you.
And it's like the scripture said, in all our ways acknowledge him and he'll break your path.
Good so scripture.
It's like you ain't necessarily actively seeking him, but whatever you do, you just acknowledge him and go on about your business, you know?
Exactly.
But like you said, sometimes, and you ain't enough, you just doing whatever you doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll give you something. You're like, oh, something you wasn't even looking for, or wasn't even asking about, or wanting to know, or nothing. He give that to you.
Amen. Where did it go? Verse 6. Yeah, that's what you quoted. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This, when you look at this acknowledge and trust, because when you look at trust here, it means to be confident, but it also points out a refuge. As you see here, it says, I think, what is it, to hide for refuge. It says to trust, confident, put confident in.
And so it's almost like when you in that state of all your confidence and trust is in Yah, then he gonna direct you on what he wants you to do. It ain't like you actively have to be like, oh, I'm doing this and this. Nah, my trust is in him. Well, however it go.
Exactly.
And so as a result, whenever you want to slide in on whatever he want to tell you, whatever he want to do, that's what he do.
And so, as you pointed out earlier, that facet of relationship is established intimacy, because as you look at in verse 5, the trust is there. With all, not in other words, the way my mindset works, I don't go ahead.
So that's the part where I say you gotta die to self, because mm-hmm. you can't do it in all where it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't dead to self, you may acknowledge him in some areas, but not all of them,
right?
And so it's not until you die to self that you have the ability to acknowledge him in all areas, so that this last facet you can walk into it. Because you may trust him in your finances and not trust him over here. Mm-hmm. Or you may trust him in this area and not trust him in that area.
That's good.
And so until you acknowledge him in all your ways, i.e. that trust, that confidence in every area, which only can happen by you dying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can break your path.
That's a good point. That's it. And so, back to you, Janice. In the first stage of it, although it was technically like the third one, my trust wasn't there. I would communicate, but it wasn't a situation where I was like, where I am now. No matter what, I don't care. I could care less how I look. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging him. I trust in him with all my heart. As the other pointed out, when we get to this state, there is no place where Yah can look in our heart, mental state. There's nowhere where Yah can look in our heart and say, there's no trust. Now let me attach something to that. When we get to that facet, if there is, it's always a gauge. The minute I hit an area where y'all is like, okay, The trust is not there. I'm just using it as an example. When I get to that, there's always a recognition of it and say, oh, wait a minute, hold on. I found a place where it ain't all. And immediately the adjustment takes place, and I say, y'all, right there too. Let me put that in there too, because I finally ran into an area where I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm down, y'all. When the intimacy is there, we acknowledge those things. The minute that these things start to come, and again, it takes death from that perspective. Yeah. But go ahead.
And y'all bring it to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it says, trust, verse 5, trust in Yah with all thine heart, not some. As Elder pointed out, everywhere in life you find the confidence in Yah. Everywhere in life, when we get in that third phase, I don't care how it look like, what's going on, we always are confident saying, Yah gonna make a way. I don't know how it's gonna work out, but Yah gonna work it out. That's trust. And Yah said, I need that trust everywhere. When that trust is everywhere, that means now there is no leaning to what we understand. I know we understand some things, but Yah said, but you don't put your trust in that. Okay? Lean not to thine own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. That acknowledgement is not you going around saying, hey, here I am. That acknowledgement is when we say, I'm just here and available. And whenever you want to show up and use me, I am ready. I ain't trying to figure it out. I'm not getting up saying, is he over there? Is he saying this? I ain't trying to figure none of that out. All I'm saying is, y'all, when it comes down to it, I'm acknowledging, because when you now ready to slide in and deal with me, I acknowledge, okay, here's what, you know, got me up at 5:00 in the morning. I'm acknowledging. I'm not up on my own. I don't want no water at 5:00 in the morning. All signs say, from my own understanding, Lord, that's dangerous. You going down there, you don't have the guys with you. You by yourself. It's dark. I was down the road, it's dark. Now here you traveling to go get this water in the dark. No, don't have any of the guys with you. My own understanding said, that's not a good time to go down there. But because I trust Yah, when I got on the road, Yah said, you're going down there fine, and you're coming back fine. Trust. Trust. Okay? Acknowledging Him and not leaning to my own understanding. I could have been heading down and said, man, what if I get there in a, you know, you got a whole bunch of guys there getting water at the same time. You know, all this. My own understanding would have been saying, boy, don't go down there in that country town, man. You don't know what the folk going to be doing around that 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning.
But when you get to that fast, and when God tell you, it's almost like it didn't happen. That's what y'all wanted.
That's the mindset.
And that's why I'm here.
That's the mindset. He want me call down, fire down from heaven on somebody down here, somebody, you know. You know. But that's where it gets to the point. First one again, Yah introduces Himself. The relationship is not intimate. We just know that we have God. We know that God exists. I wasn't seeking Him, didn't have no relationship, knew that He was there, had conversations, but there was no intimacy. Started to seek Him. Started to do all the things that I could do to let Him know, okay, I'm serious. And now it's to the point where this is easy, man. It's like, y'all, it's like, man, I just deal with you. I just get in the bed now and I'm like, y'all, whatever you want to do. You want to get me up 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning? That's up to you. However way you want to do this here is fine with me. And if you don't deal with me from those facets that I'm talking about, I don't be like, well, man, I feel like I ain't had no encounter with y'all today, man. I need to go pray. I be like, he just didn't want to deal with me right. like he did Sunday. Well, just didn't want to deal with me like that. Nothing need to be done. You know, and I wanted to share those three facets, you know, just kind of help you find a, you know, your place and the bear witness with what's going on with you.
I'd have one additional comment.
Okay.
I think in that last phase where you start to see the eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, things that God has prepared for those that love them. Those that love him, right? I think in that phase, you start to see. I mean, you hear that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking from my own personal experience. Mm-hmm. You hear that scripture, but I didn't truly comprehend it till I got into that last one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it blows your mind.
Right. And it's as you said, it do blow your mind to look back on it. I mean, to look back, and I'm just using this is one of many, but I'm just using to look back on it and know that y'all got me up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go get water so I could get back and do what he really wanted done. That leaves you dumbfounded because you know. And then to send you one photo, you know, ain't nothing about that is normal. The eyes have not seen. There's no, I would not have awakened in the morning saying, well, you know, y'all lead me to do this because he must got something for me to do when I get back today. Had no idea what was going on and was just stupid about it. And all of a sudden, y'all say, okay, you allowed me to lead and guide you. Now, let me give you a picture. I'm going to send you one picture. That's all you need. You know, those are the things that, you know, that I want to share with you. And like I said, there's no cookie cutter method to look at that. But at the same time, I'm pretty confident that those three encounters will happen to each one of us. And there could be more. You know, not limited to that, but I'm just letting you know.
Stage three right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, just stage three of those encounters, and so, you know, so I wanted you to understand that, and I believe, as you pointed out, the seeking part is that preparation for death. When we get to the point, because I mean, it was like I was desperate. And I was like, you got to deal with me. I'm going to go crazy. I still said to this day, I'm like, if you ain't going to use me, just kill me now. I ain't got no reason to be around here. And I mean that. And I was like, I got to deal with that nut, because if I don't, he just ready to die. And so I just wanted to share that with you by his leading, just to, you know, again, give you something to kind of feel your way about. And so, first thing, as I get ready to close, first thing you just said, you know, does everybody have the testimony that he's introduced himself? To the point where you saying, well, I know my God is real. He's introduced himself to me. And, you know, I encourage you to start seeking him. If there's no, you know, sometimes I've had people to say, well, you know, well, God don't deal with me like he deal with you. Well, as the elder pointed out, that's my calling. But then at the same time, it may be because there's no early in the morning. That's not a time frame. That's a diligence. If you want to have encounters with Yah, go after the dude, man. Get at him and be for real about it. Early. Get at him early. That's diligence. Be diligent about it. Yah is a rewarder. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Yah is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Get after him, man. Then once you get after him, you're going to enter into that phase where he's going to start getting after you. Then you're going to start understanding what your destiny is, what you were born to do, and all these different things. Okay. That's all I have. I just want to show that. Any questions, comments? We're good? Okay. Father Yah, we just bless you, and we thank you for revealing these facets to us. And matter of fact, he just said that is enough. There are no others. You know? And we thank you for revealing to us these facets. And we're not creating an environment to where people have to feel like there are certain things that they have to do that's similar to everyone else. So we bless you for bringing us to the knowledge that you will introduce yourself to each one of us however way you see fit, and we will diligently seek you whichever method by which we deem necessary. And we know that you'll deal with us and seek us in whichever way you feel that is necessary. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.